In this week's episode, Kate Perry and Ashley Smokler discuss benefits in kind and the P11Ds, primarily in respect of limited companies. They cover the reporting requirements of these benefits, together with an overview of other staff benefits. Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Accountancy on Prescription. Today, I'm joined by Ashley Smokler, one of our tax managers. And today we're going to be talking about benefits in kind and the upcoming requirement to submit a P11D in respect of that. So, hello, Ashley.
Hi, Kate.
So, Ashley, perhaps we ought to explain exactly what benefits in kind are.
So, benefits in kind are the result of an employer or a company providing items or payments to an employee or a director that result in a tax liability.
So I suppose the best example of that is company cars. So obviously it's not a monetary value, it's the availability of a company car, and it's that on which a taxable benefit arises.
That's correct.
So we're talking about this now, today, and that's because the P11D form on which the benefits need to be declared is due for submission. So do you want to explain roughly what a P11D is and when it's due?
So P11Ds are due by the 6th of July annually. P11Ds report to HMRC benefits that have been provided, such as car, such as medical, that kind of thing, but also any amounts that have been reimbursed for travel or entertainment or accommodation, whatever it might be that has been reimbursed by the employer or the company.
Okay. And are there any other taxes that employers need to be aware of?
Not taxes, but there are national insurance liabilities for the employer or the company, whichever it might be. So where there's a taxable element of benefit in kind, it will lead to a 13.8% national insurance liability on the company or the employer, and that becomes payable on the 19th of July annually. So just a couple of weeks after the form goes in.
Okay. So we're talking about this now because this form is due, and some of our clients who may be listening will have received an email from us asking them if their company, if they own a company, has supplied them with any sort of benefit in kind. So what people need to understand is, unfortunately, the accountant can't work out whether you have a benefit in kind because we won't actually have prepared the relevant set of accounts where we will pick these things up. So we have to, or you as the client, need to tell your accountant after your accounting year or after the end of the tax year if your company has given you any type of benefit. So we've sent out emails to our clients for them to let us know. So for instance, if during the year in a set of accounts that we haven't yet prepared, you bought a new electric car, then we do need to be advised so that we can put that on the P11D. And again, with other benefits such as medical insurance or anything else that you might have paid out. So talking of actual benefits, shall we go through some examples, perhaps?
Certainly. So electric cars we've touched on. Now, electric cars are generally cars with very low CO2 emissions, and the percentage that is the benefit in kind differs depending on the mileage range that the car has between charges. So my assumption generally is that most electric cars with a CO2 emissions of under 50 are going to have a mileage range of about 130 or more. At that point, you trigger a 2% benefit in kind for the year 24-5. So the year that's just finished, where are we going to do P11Ds in the next 6 weeks or so? the benefit in kind is calculated as 2% of the market value of the car. That benefit in kind increases to 3% for the year that's just begun, 25-6, and it will go up again in years to come. But at the moment, it's 2% that needs to be shown on your tax return.
We're recommending that brand new electric company cars are still worth putting through the company. Before, you and I, Ashley, we probably used to recommend to clients not to put any company car through a limited company because the taxable benefits were, and still are, I think, particularly high. So I think you've been explaining the charges based on electric car. How different is it for other than electric cars? And would we still probably say that anything other than electric car probably isn't worth putting through the company at all?
I would say that absolutely. Certainly electric cars are the way forward anyway, but a non-electric car, the benefit in kind is much higher. The percentages are higher. I don't particularly get to deal with an awful lot of company cars anymore. Certainly not non-electric cars. But the taxable rates are based on the original list price of the car, but the percentages are much higher than if it were an electric car.
Not the 2 or 3% you've just
absolutely been not describing. Nowhere near. Yes. Nowhere near. Yes. We can move on to private medical, dental cover, that kind of thing. That can all be paid directly by the company or the employer on behalf of the director or the employee. The benefit in kind is obviously the value of the amount that's paid on their behalf. The tax rate that you would pay on that is your highest rate of tax. So if you're a higher rate taxpayer, then you'll be paying 40% on that. Beneficial loans. So we have situations where particularly directors of companies take money out of their company without it forming part of their dividend or salary, if there is a salary. Where you take money out of the company and it's refunded to the company at a later stage, or even if it's not, the interest rate charged on a beneficial loan is 2.25% in the 24-5 tax year, and that is still in place for 25-6. There are a couple of ways that the benefit is calculated. There's a precise method, in which case you take the balance that's outstanding at the end of each day and work out the average over the course of the year. The difference with that is that there's an averaging method, which the revenue prefer. The averaging method, you take the opening balance at the start of the year on the 6th of April and the closing balance at the 5th of April, add them together and divide by two. That gives you your benefit in kind for the year. And then again, you pay 2.25% on that. There are others. We have been looking at items such as trivial payments. Trivial payments are anything up to £50 paid no more than six times a year. So it's not an allowance. It's not that you can just claim £300, but you have to actually expend the money and that has to be shown somewhere in the accounts. If you're paid up to a total of £300 in those circumstances, you don't need to report anything on the P11D.
And those amounts, strictly speaking, should be not paid due to good work or anything, but can be paid for birthdays, weddings, birth of a child or anything of that nature. That's generally what we suggest a trivial benefit is.
Yeah, so it's basically anything that's not within your contract to be expected. There's also another one which certainly directors and very small employers with a small number of employees. Christmas, staff entertaining, however you want to dress it up. You're entitled to a maximum of £150 per head. So where you've got a company with husband and wife directors, there's no reason why you can't go out and have a meal, ideally around Christmas time, at a cost of £300. And that wouldn't need to be declared to the revenue.
Yes, that's right. And we ought to point out that general subsistence, if you're not travelling out and about, aren't really things that you should be putting through your company, are they?
No, that's right. That's right.
So tea, coffee, yes, that's acceptable. But regular takeaways or going out and getting your lunch through the company is not really acceptable.
Well, we do need to say that at the end of the podcast last year, I was talking about the mandatory payrolling of benefits, which was due to come in on the 5th of April 2026. The revenue have now decided to put that back another year. So we don't need to stress about that until the 6th of April 27. But at that point, you won't need to complete P11Ds anymore. But any amounts, you put the amounts into your payroll so that effectively they're shown on your payslips and you're taxed accordingly at the time that you receive your monthly pay.
Yes, so that becomes a little more difficult in the sense you've got to make sure that you're keeping track of what benefits are being offered. And of course, with P11Ds, and obviously when it goes on to the payroll in any case, clients who haven't yet got a payroll set up for their company will need to get on and get that set up. So as soon as you think of buying an electric car through your company, the first thing you need to think about is setting up a payroll system. And we are actually suggesting that some directors, certainly if you've got two directors in your company or any staff, that you set up a payroll to help get some money out of the company via payroll as opposed to through dividends. So I think that's probably covered everything then, Ashley. So suffice to say, you need to be getting information to either us or your own accountant in good time before the 6th of July so that we can complete your forms and submit them to HMRC in good time. So if you enjoyed this podcast, perhaps you would be kind enough to like and subscribe. And until next time, we'll say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.